Suitable for some. Listener discretion advised.
All right, now, boys and girls, we want to introduce...
Please allow me to adjust my pants. Woo, woo, woo. Listen to me.
Run as fast as you can.
I'm gonna give you what you need.
Get ready for BAM Radio.
Let me do it one more time. It's Radio BAM, fucking idiot.
What the hell am I talking about?
It's Radio BAM!
And now... Here's BAM!
Hey, it's Cullen on Faction, and this is Radio BAM, and on the phone is Novak, because, Novak, bring us up to speed. What's going on? You guys have been traveling all over the place?
Been to fucking hell and back, literally. Basically, we just got back. We went to Florida. We did three gigs in Florida, and from there we went to Arizona, and on the way to fucking Florida, I... being a typical wino that I am, decided to order four airport size bottles of wine, and I'm sitting there and I'm sitting next to this dude in like a silk fucking $3,000 suit. He's going to like some high hot shit business class meeting deal, and I just happened to we hit a little turbulence and my whole glass of red wine goes all over his suit. Right, so he's furious. He gets up, he orders like some sparkling whatever to get it out, starts cussing me out, and I just take my napkin, and I didn't know that you can't wipe wipe wine out of a rug, it just gets it worse.
Right, you make it much worse. So you're rubbing wine into a very expensive suit. Are you in first class when this is happening, Novak?
Yes. And not only is it bad, it's still red wine on a suit. I'm now making the stain fucking 20 times worse in this fucking first-class business guy's suit. And he's fucking cussing me out. And I'm like, look, man, relax, dude. This isn't the first time it happened, and damn sure not going to be the last. And fucking after it's all said and done, hope floats, man. So buy a paddle.
What do business guys make of a dude like you being up in first class? Does it just blow their mind?
Yeah, they get so... It actually makes the flight funner because they have no clue how to take me. We get into such... Because the last time I was on a flight and I was sitting next to the district attorney. So me being me and him being him, we got shit-faced together. And I had just got caught being extorted by this fucking stripper. So after we landed, he got to the point where he was now going to be on my side, and he got me a lawyer and helped me sue the shit out of the stripper.
Well, Nate, hold on. Let's go back a couple. District attorney from where? From PA?
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Okay, and then how was a stripper trying to extort you? What did she have? Because everybody knows you don't give a fuck about money. You always say, I don't even have a dollar to my name. So what is she going to extort you for?
Well, she's saying that she had fucking some kind of footage of me at the strip joint, like, doing whatever, kissing or making out or whatever, and she knows that I'm Vanna's best friend, so she figures we'll cough up some money on my behalf, because, like you said, I'm broke as a joke.
But what did you do? What's illegal about you making out with a stripper?
Well, this is what's illegal, is the fact that the dumb whore told me to put the money into a bank account, and she wouldn't tell my girlfriend. So I do that, and now there's a paper trail.
Wait a minute. How much money was she asking for?
She asked for fucking $1,000.
Okay. So she wanted a G so she wouldn't go and tell Apple that you were at some strip club making out with some chick?
Yeah. So me being the nice guy that I am, I try to make her happy, and I put $1,000 in her bank account. Little to know that the whore... text Apple the very next day, pictures of me kissing this girl or whatever. So now there's a paper trail. The district attorney, he was like, I'm not going to say any names here, but my best friend had the same exact thing happen to him. So one and one equaling two here. The best friend was him, but he just didn't want to say that because he was a married guy.
Right. So what did Apple make of it when this chick started sending her stuff?
She was furious. My shit was brought to Bam's house. It was in like 18 bags outside of his door steps, and I slept here for about a week or two. And And then basically I just realized how much of a fucking idiot I was and just made a drunk and dumb decision. Because I was in prison for like a fucking year, so after like a glass of wine I was blacking out, you know, so.
Now you and Apple are kind of famous for this, right? You guys kind of break up and make up a lot?
Yeah, story of my life, wake up to make up to break up.
But you're back together now?
Yeah, we're back together. I love that broad, man.
Okay, now when you're on the road with Bam and you're doing all the crazy things that you're known for doing, do you find that you're getting a lot of pussy thrown at you on the road?
Well, that's what's crazy. And I'm actually, like, being a really good boyfriend now. Like, I don't cheat or anything. And now that I don't, I can get so much more pussy. The fact that I think it's like girls can smell it on you. Like, when you're faithful and have a good boyfriend, they're just dying to throw their pussy at you. But if you're like, babe, come on, like, let me buy you drinks, let me buy you dinner, this, that, they don't give a fuck. But if you act like you don't care about them, they're willing to just trip and fall on any old dick.
Right. That's the vibe you always get, like, after you get married. I'm, like, married with a kid. And so, girls.
Sorry for your luck. Well, good luck.
Girls, yeah. My kid's 2 weeks old, Novak. I'll go home.
Congratulations,
yeah,
man.
I'll go home and tell him that Novak feels bad for me.
That'll go great with the wife.
Yeah,
congrats
totally.
On that.
Yeah, man. But it is like you said. If you're not putting out the vibe that you're trying to pick girls up, then a lot of times the girls are way cooler to you because you're putting out the I don't give a fuck vibe. When you're on the road with Bam, is he doing club appearances or was he doing the Fuckface Unstoppable thing?
This last one we did, it was just three club appearances, but he's been doing, he has a band now, Fuckface Unstoppable. He wrote like three or four songs and then he does cover songs of like Turbo Negro and Gigi Allen and shit like that, which is fucking awesome because basically it's such a cocksucker move to just show up to a club and just stand there and you're getting paid for it. And, you know what I mean? Like, you just sign shit. So it's so much better to actually have something to bring to the table. You know what I mean?
Right. And the guys who are backing up Bam, we should say, it's the guys in CKY. So.
Yeah. It's Chad, his brother, which is on drums, and then Seth.
Yeah, you mix those two up. Chad is on guitar and Jess is on drums.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. Yes. So it's a legit fucking lineup and everyone's, you know, a rock star in their own kind of way. And then the song the band wrote, one of them is I Want to Bend My Dick to the Back of My Ass So I Can Fuck Myself. That's one. The other one is That's Why I Fucked Your Mom. And then the one, his newest and the new release that should be out soon is I Want to Bone You Through the Phone.
Okay, so now
I think he's working on one. Thanks for getting your bitch drunk.
So when,
you know what I mean? Because like dudes go get their girlfriends all drunk and they're so tired of fucking their boyfriend they just end up fucking you and you have to spend a dollar.
So now when Bam is doing Fuckface Unstoppable, do you do anything with the band? Do you come up on stage and do crazy stunts?
I just come on stage and he usually fucking punches me about 10 times throughout one song. Then he tells the crowd that how I wrecked his $120,000 car, so each person that wants to punch me can get $10 taken off the tab. So it's such a pain in the ass. I'll be like ordering a fucking glass of wine at the bar and then I turn around to frat brother Brian punching me in the back of the fucking head.
Now, after you get hit a lot of times, Novak, does it ever get to the point where it's like, seriously, the next dude who fucking touches me, I'm gonna haul off on and fucking get into a real fight with?
Nah, because I can't win, dude. I don't fight. I win fights by losing fights.
Right.
You know, I have a whole backwards theory to it. Because the more some fucking 800-pound guy who can bench press 15 kegs at once punches me, and I laugh over and over and tell him how my dead grandmother could do a better job, it just makes him fucking see red 10 times more, and he doesn't understand why he can't beat my pussy ass up, and I'm laughing at him. You know what I mean?
So when you're getting punched over and over again, you just phase out the pain? It doesn't bother you?
Yeah, I basically psychologically mind-fuck the idiot, and I win. And then I probably end up fucking his, well, if I was single, I'd fuck his girlfriend, then he'd really be furious.
If you were single, but,
So that's how most of the shows, some of the shows go, and the one that we just did the other night, Bab fucking walked in on some fucking promoter guy doing some little sideline deal. he walks in, and this guy's, like, counting money, and it was supposed to go to Bam, but the guy, like I said, the guy was doing some sideline deal. So the guy is, like, on stage behind the DJ booth, like, dealing with money, and Bam still has the mic, and he's on stage, and he goes with the mic, and he's like, so is this my money? And the guy's, like, trying to put the mic to the side so he can talk. Bam grabs $5,000 and just chucks it into the crowd.
God damn, man. Bam is just famous for losing $10,000 or just giving money away. He's just like...
It was $5,000 well spent to prove a point, because that's what it comes down to. He just takes his $5,000, throws it in the crowd, and just says, don't be a shady fuck. Who is not going to talk about that concert forever? Anyone that was there is still talking about it right now, I guess.
You went to go see Bam, and then you came away with some money from the whole thing. That's a pretty fucking cool night.
Yeah, well, of course, me being the genius that I am, I blacked out earlier, so I was too fucking drunk to pay attention to any money flying from the sky, so I was blacked out in the RV.
That RV, isn't that, I heard in an earlier show you complaining that, when you were passed out, didn't Bam try to fart on you and then actually wind up...
shit in my face, the fucking scumbag.
All right, so take me through that. How does that happen?
Dude, I'm still asking myself that very question, my friend. I've had a lot of fucking gnarly shit done to me and have did to others, and this has touched me in a way that nothing else ever has, nor do I think it ever will. You know what I mean? This is like on some level of like your father molesting you as a kid type shit.
So you were dead asleep, right? You didn't know this
dead
was
asleep.
About to happen, and then what? He just sprayed your face?
Well, the thing, I was dead asleep. I had been up for like about 3 or 4 days now due to some party favors and shit.
Right.
So I hadn't slept for quite a few days. So I finally fall asleep. My nose is all stuffed up, so I'm like breathing through my mouth. And all of a sudden, he farts and he puts his ass basically like cups my nose. It fit perfect, so he farted into my mouth. So I woke up by doing a bong hit of his fart, basically. So that wakes me up, right? So now
right.
I'm awake. Obviously, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed with that one. So I'm sitting there, I'm text messaging. And he's sitting on the other side, and I can see him out of the corner of my eye, but I'm figured that he's on the bigger and better, because he just woke me up now. I see him pulling his pants down, but I think he's going to fuck with someone else. And he comes over, and I had just dropped a wine glass, and he's like, Novak, pick up the glass. And when he bent over, his pants were down, so his asshole was like vertical, like up towards the ceiling of the RV. And he started to fart, but because Chad was laughing so hard, he started laughing so hard. And it literally was shit spray. I felt like the movie The Matrix. Like, I was, like, fucking matrixing bullets, except the bullets were shit turds. You know what
Jesus
I mean? It was like,
Christ, dude.
It was like liquid shit turds.
Now, you're kind of famous for, you know, kind of being, like, a gypsy and not really, like, loving to shower and stuff. When you get shit on in the RV... Do you at least get to get off the RV and get cleaned up, or do you have to, like, walk around for a couple days smelling like Bam shit?
Well, thank God. I mean, if this wasn't God working, I don't know what was. Weird enough, when he shit on me, we literally were only 15 minutes away from my house. But so I didn't have to smell his fucking minging ass too long. But the thing that was annoying me was my girlfriend kept calling me every 5 minutes because... You know, I don't have the best track record, so she thinks I tell a few white lies here and there, so she's always keeping up on where I'm at.
Right.
So she's, every 5 minutes, my phone's ringing, but I'm, like, literally cleaning shit off of my shirt, off of my hat, off of my necklace, off of my phone, you know what I mean? So I'm talking into a phone that's covered in shit. Like, everything was covered. It shit so much that, no thanks, it shit so much that it went behind my head on the curtains of the mirror, the glass, you know what I mean? Like the
Jesus
windows.
Christ. So, and then you guys got to drive that RV around? Did somebody get in and clean up Bam's mess?
Yeah, somebody had went and cleaned it all, and like they went and power washed all that shit. So he was able to get that out.
So do you know, like, when Bam is going to do something particularly gnarly to you? Because I know you guys have been, like, best friends since you were, like, what, 12 years old?
Yeah, since 12 we've been best friends.
So can you read Bam? Can you, like, see, like, okay, Bam's
I can read him, like, the back of my hand. I literally can. But the thing is anything goes. You know what I mean? So it's hard to say what level of fucked up thing he's going to do next. You know what I mean? Because it could be fucking throwing a water balloon at me or shitting on me. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
there's level of what's coming. It's just
right.
going to be fucked up.
And because you guys are such homies and he knows, like, you're down for fucking debauchery, he can do the craziest shit to you because you're not going to fucking turn around and try and sue him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, with me, I'm all in when it comes to that. And I've fucked up so much that I have no right to really bitch or complain about anything because I fucked up shit before, you know?
You were in jail for a bit, and now you're back out. Once you do, like, a year in jail, does it change, like, your attitude towards everything? Or are you just still, like, you know, live every day for the day?
Well, it did. It kind of in both ways. Because after I came home, I was gone for 11 and a half months. And when I was in there, some fucked up shit happened, you know, just on the outside. You know, just with regular life with things that have happened. And it just made me realize that take advantage of every fucking minute that you have. Because you never know when it's going to be the last. So I try to just take advantage of literally everything. Fucking, yeah, I mean, it gave me a whole new perspective, and it got me to get to know myself. I couldn't run from myself, you know what I mean? Like, I had to, like, learn about myself.
Right, right. You had no, yeah, okay. you're stuck in a fucking jail cell. I mean, that's gotta suck, dude.
Yeah, it totally did. But it was a good thing, man. It saved my life, definitely.
Now, did you do any writing when you were in jail? Because if you don't know, Novak wrote a book. It's called Dream Cellar. And,
yeah, go buy that bitch.
Yeah, did you do any more writing about, you know, you have so many crazy stories. I'm sure that not all of them made the first book.
The second one's on its way out, but it's not, it's going to be in a different format. It's going to be a bunch of short stories. It's not going to be like the first book.
Okay. And then what's up filming-wise? Like, are you and Bam, when you're doing all these crazy things, are you getting a lot of it on camera? I know you had a cameo in Jackass 3.
Yeah.
Is there more room for you to expand the Novak brand?
Yeah, well, I think he has this show coming out on TV, just on the pilot on TBS. If that goes ahead, I'll be on that for, you know, kind of a regular on that. And then he's got some other projects. And I have a documentary coming out called Where's My Needle? That's going to be going to the Sundance Film Festival and the Cannes Festival, which it's coming along really good.
No, and that's all about you growing up in Baltimore and falling into heroin.
Yeah, a whole bunch of different shit, like all kinds of skating, friends, drugs. Alcohol, drugs.
Right, because I don't know if everybody knows this, but when you were like, what, 12 years old, you had the opportunity to go pro, right? Wasn't Tony Hawk looking to scout you?
Yeah, well, Hawk wanted to, and then I was about to turn pro for PAL, so I had a full-on skating thing going on, and then I took the higher road, a.k.a. heroin.
So when was the first time that you started fucking around with heroin? I mean, were you literally 12 and 13 years old?
Heroin, 16 or 17, but weed was my gateway, just how, you know, it's cliche, but that's how it is.
Right, you did booze and weed, and then you just, the skating kind of fell by the wayside?
Yeah, and then Bam continued to progress and did Jackass and stuff, and I remember being in fucking rehab one time, and it was one of the worst feelings ever. I was sitting in rehab, and it was really shitty rehab, and I turned on the VMAs or whatever, and I saw, I think it was him and Steve-O giving an award to Eminem, and I was just, I couldn't even watch the TV because I was like, fuck, because I would have been right there with him, you know what I mean?
Right, you're basically watching an alternative version of your life.
And at this point, I'm homeless in like the shittiest rehab in the world, and I'm watching my best friend give an award to Eminem, present an award to Eminem, you know what I mean? So, and before that, I wasn't watching TV because I was getting high. So right there, it clicked. I'm like if reality ever set in, that was the moment right there.
When did you guys start hanging together really close again, or did you never really stop hanging out?
Well, how we met back up was he was on a skate tour, and he was stopped in this skate park, skate shop in Baltimore, and he did a demo. And I had stopped in like 3 days after he was there to try to bump some money for some dope. And he left his number, and he said, well, if you ever see Novak come in here, give him my number, and if he wants to get clean, he's more than welcome, and I'll do everything I can. And that kind of, I called him like 2 days after, and that's when we started, when I started coming back and forth. And it took me probably fucking at least 8 to 12 attempts to actually get clean and stay clean, because I would come up and I'd fuck up, or I'd have to go back to Baltimore for a fucking favorite pair of jeans of mine, which never existed. You know, really, just to go get shit.
Right, right, to go back. And because, I mean, that's the thing about when you start fucking with heroin, I mean, your body gets sick if you don't stay high. So it really becomes
exactly.
Like a, you have to keep getting high, because otherwise there's no other way to live, right? It's like you can't do anything once you're withdrawing, right?
Yeah, you're 100%. Enslaved to it. So now, that's how our friendship. So that we split apart for probably fucking, I'd say, 7 or 8 years, while I was just a full blown drug addict, was my job 24/7. And then he got me back into skating and filming the CKY stuff. And you know, he was just a person that was always there for me. I mean, even when Phil and Ape said, "You gotta leave him the fuck alone, he's no good," you know, he never did. And you know, so that's why I'm kind of, that's why he can do all this shit to me, and you know, I'll always never get pissed, and I'm the first person to be down to do anything, because, you know, it's my life pretty much, you know.
Now,
literally.
Let me ask you a serious question. Being that you've had so many ups and downs with drugs, is it kind of hard to be out on the road and be kind of like partying and drinking? Like, do you ever worry, like, I'm going to fuck up and this is going to turn me right back to the downers? Or are you at the level where it's like, hey, I can have some wine and I can fucking go hard every now and again, but I'm never going to go back to, you know, being on heroin?
Yeah, I mean, it took quite a while to get there, but I'm definitely there now where I can sit there and drink wine and stuff. But I can't even think of when the last time the thought has crossed my mind, like, man, I'd like to score some dope and go get, you know what I mean? Like, I can't, yeah, that doesn't even cross my mind anymore. You know, it's like, kind of, but I'm not saying this, it's like Michael Jordan when he retired from basketball, if he did, I don't even know if he plays anymore. The thought of playing basketball still crosses his mind once a day.
Right.
But actually play, you know what I mean? So, like, I probably think about heroin once a day, definitely. But the thought of actually acting on that is way out there, you know?
So now you're rolling with Bam and you're doing the tour thing. Do you know what's going to happen day to day? Do you have like an itinerary planned out where like, oh, the next 3 months is all booked? Or I get the feeling that you're just like, what, we're going to Florida? Let's fucking go, man. Like,
yeah, pretty much. Well, I try to find out a little bit more now because, you know, I'm in a serious relationship. So, you know, I have a cats and a fucking house and shit. So I have responsibilities more now. So I try to find out, but even Bam doesn't know till tomorrow what's going on. So I kind of just find out through him. So when he says, let's go, I can usually get maybe 2 days' notice, so I'm lucky. You know what I mean?
Okay, so, and then...
Basically, you know, I look at him as Peter Pan with a credit card. Because he flies, you never know when he's coming. He comes in, swipes his card, and then he's gone, and you never know when you'll see him again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds like a crazy lifestyle, and it's cool. You get to go on all this stuff and meet all these crazy people and have these adventures. Now, when you're out on the road, who else is rolling? Obviously, the guys from CKY are playing with Bam and the band, and then you're on tour. Who else is rolling with you guys when you guys are out on the road?
Probably, he has this white rapper that lives here named Production, who lives in the Hobbit Hole. He goes with us. So it's usually me, Bam, Production, Nikki, which is Bam's girlfriend, me, Chad, Jesse, and last tour, our random token black buddy went with us, and he hooked up with this chick, and he found out halfway through the night that it was a tranny, so he was making out with this tranny all night, and he didn't even know it.
Nice, good times. And do you ever bring Apple out on the road with you, or is it just too rock and roll?
Sometimes, but she has like a 5-day-a-week job, like 9 to 5. She works at like some BMW dealership, so she has more of a schedule than I do. You know what I mean? So if I can like fly around for the weekend or something where I'm at, she will. But it doesn't happen too often because, like I said, if I'm lucky, I get like a 2-day advance notice on when I'm going and where I'm going. So. For her, she needs like a month advance.
That's funny. That's my next thing. So she's really kind of like a very responsible, put together girl, and then kind of like hell on earth. So how did that come together? How did you two hook up like that?
Well, I don't know. It's just that fucking that age old saying that opposites attract, because literally she's the exact opposite of me. No tattoos. She drinks a bit, but college graduate. Extremely intelligent. Very well. Background, good family, still married and all that. So, met in a bar one night. Oddly enough, Nikki, Bam's girlfriend, she was in a sorority, and her and all her sorority sisters walked in, and I tried to hit on her best friend at first, and her best friend wanted nothing to do with me. So, and I was talking to Apple, and that night we were all coming back to Bam's, and her friend was like, if you go back to that house, you're going to be doing heroin and cocaine for months and months. You know what I mean? And for some reason, she totally came, and we've kind of just been inseparable ever since. So it's
and she even stuck.
If I had someone like me, man, I would go to hell in a handbasket. You know what I mean?
Right. You need a good influence around you. Like if you were with a chick who was into getting high.
I have enough sense to know that I don't need to be with anybody like me, because nothing good's going to come from that.
Right. Okay. So, so what's up next? Like, so basically, is Bam just sleeping it off right now?
Yeah. Well, he just bought this fucking $15,000 printer. It's like a T-shirt printer, and he's out and he never sleeps. So he sleeps maybe like 3 hours a night. His mind's constantly going. So he's out in this art studio that he had built. He's making these T-shirts, and it's a picture of Osama bin Laden. And under it, it says, just relax. So he's out there printing those up like a madman.
And then he'll be what, like selling those at the next time he's out appearing somewhere?
Yeah, he'll sell them that, or he'll just wear them. And so he's like I said, he said it's art studio built, so he's doing that, and then he's painting like Batman too. So he's been having like a lot of art shows.
Right, and you're one of the main muses in his, doesn't he do a lot of paintings of actually you?
Yeah. I was for some reason he can get my face down pretty good, so I'm kind of the go-to, I guess, when it comes to it. Plus, and I always come up with like these random quotes and sayings, so it kind of works out good, with a cool-ass painting and a quote or something. So he has like this, now it's sick because he has this gnarly art studio, and then he has the T-shirt printer in there, so he's like printing shit out left and right. He's like he's like Edward Scissorhands in that movie when he's up in that attic cutting hair like a maniac.
Right, right.
Except he's out in the fucking art studio painting and doing shirts like he's on meth or something. Never sleeps. He just goes.
That's fucking crazy. And then of course, he's always having people over because the house is just like always going off. I mean, there's always just different people around the house hanging out, and you never know who's going to be over, right? It could be a rock band, it could be a celebrity, it could just be a bunch of hot college girls.
Yeah, well, yeah, now it's, but we've been going so much that he's probably here maybe, he'll be here for a week or two, then he'll be gone for like a month or two, you know what I mean? So it's not like it's constantly a fucking full-blown ranger here. So, but when it is, I mean, it's not like ever hectic, crazy shit. It's a bit more mellow than, norm.
Well, I'm sure even what you would describe as more mellow is still fucking probably the craziest party that a lot of other people listening to this would have ever been to,
Yeah, well, actually right now he just got off a flight from San Francisco, so he's feeling a little bit gay and tired at the moment, literally.
All right, so what else is happening in the world of Novak? What should we be looking out for?
I just got like I said, I've been working on that documentary that's going to be coming out. Well, I just saw the teaser to it the other day. I just got this killer interview with John Waters, who made Hairspray and Pink Flamingo and shit.
Yeah, he's a legend.
He's from Baltimore as well. So we just I just did an interview with him that's going to be coming out. And then I have the second book, which is going to be short stories. It's going to be like 22 short stories.
Okay, and then,
a good amount of those.
And then what about you and Twitter? Are you one of those guys who you've got your phone and you're putting funny stuff up on Twitter, or do you not really like that?
Yeah, that's the only thing I actually do is Twitter. Like, I don't do Facebook or anything else, but I do do Twitter. And the best ones come from, like, when I'm having drinks and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's never, like, it's very randomly serious. The only time it's like serious shit is if I'm in the doghouse and I write about how much I'm in love with my girlfriend or something.
And how can people follow you on Twitter? What's your name?
Brandon_Novak.
Now back to Radio Bam thing. Faction.
Hey, it's Radio Bam. This is Cullen. It's a bit of a different show tonight because I got Brandon Novak on the phone. Everything's been so crazy. The guys have been all over the place. Bam literally just got off a plane. This was the only way we could kind of put together a new show. So how's everything going over there, Novak?
It's good, man. It's good. Right now we're just fucking, I'm just catching my first breath for the last couple days. I just got this awesome-ass new kitten, which I named Pete after my idol, Pete Doherty.
Now that you're back in Westchester, are you, will you calm down for a couple, since you were just on the road going hard? Do you take a couple days off, or is it like, hey, we're back in Westchester now, we're gonna go hit the bars tonight?
It'll be pretty mellow actually. This weekend I'm going to Busch Gardens and shit to do like a Christmas thing and stuff, so I tend to mellow out more when I come back and just kind of kick back and relax, you know, until we go back out again. So, but I think we're going to Australia. They're doing a Fuckface Unstoppable tour in Australia, 12th through the 24th, I think.
Now, are you allowed to travel internationally, Novak?
Yeah. I actually just graduated from parole today. I just paid my fines off today, so I graduated from that class with honors.
Okay, so you're done? There's no more involvement with the police? You can just hang out and have fun?
Yeah, I'm totally fucking free and clear, man.
It's been a wild ride. You've been listening to Bam Margera's best friend, Mr. Brandon Novak, and you can follow him on Twitter at Brandon_Novak, and you can pick up his book, Dream Seller. And Novak, is there anything else you want to fill us in on? Any other crazy stories that have gone down?
Club Lit Ultra in Philly on December 30th. Bam fucked Unstoppable will be doing a show, which basically, that's actually a 1 year anniversary from the day I was released from prison. I got out December 30th of last year. Oh, actually, I'm doing two things I got going on. It's pretty fucking hot and heavy right now.
Okay.
I'm working on getting an advance. So if you got some friends with money, you should probably tell them that I want to get tits, and I'm willing to do it for 1 year for the small price of $67,000.
Now, what kind of tits are we talking? Like D cup?
Because if I just wanted like A cups.
No,
because
you're a
like
skinny dude. If you had some D titties, people would notice them. But you're a very skinny dude. Have you talked about size? Do you do C, D, or what are you thinking?
I prefer like D's, or I guess. I mean, I make it worthwhile. I mean, fuck, Howard Stern's only 100 feet away from you, so march your ass down to that motherfucker's office. Tell him Novak here wants him, a.k.a. Moneybags, a.k.a. King of the Radio, Howard Stern, to write me a blank check, and I will fill in the numbers.
Okay, and then you will rock tits for a year everywhere you go?
For 1 year. And everywhere I go, and then I'll just have them taken out. I'll be 67 grand richer. I will not be gay because I fuck a hot-ass girlfriend. The only problem I foresee in that is if I were to get arrested.
Now, would Apple be, like, down with your titties? You think she would be, like, sucking on your tits and playing with them? Like, would she be into the fact that you have tits?
I don't know. You know what? That's what's weird, because the last, not Apple, but my last ex-fiance, Mandy, when I was really strung out, I was in the projects once, and I bought a dildo for her, because when I'm doing opiates, I have no sex drive. So I figured if I got her a dildo, she'd stop bugging me to fuck her all the time.
Right.
So I just fire this dildo. I get home, and I swear to God on my mother, I don't even pay attention to the dildo I bought. But we're fucking, and she's like, you want me to get the dildo? And I'm like, sure, thinking she just wants to, like, pull it up. I bought a fucking strap-on dildo. So she wanted to put it on, and thinking that it was my undercover way of saying I wanted her to fuck me.
So wait, did that go down? Did she?
Nah, it didn't go down. I just pretended like I didn't hear it. You know what I mean? It got like awkward for a second.
Yeah, because you don't want to be on your back getting pumped by your girl.
Nah. Especially not getting anything out of that. You know, it's not like I'm getting any press or publicity or money, and I'm definitely not getting enjoyment. So why the fuck would I cross that bridge?
Exactly. So you'll put on tits and you'll possibly take a strap on in the ass as long as there's press and money behind it. But not big time. Okay.
Big time. And so that goes back to the question you asked before. Apple might actually want to play with my tits if I got them.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because Mandy wanted to fuck me, so Apple might want to play with my tits.
Wow. Brandon Novak, it is always interesting talking to you, man. I got to say, you always are up to fucking crazy shenanigans. Keep doing it up, man, and we will have you back on the radio, hopefully next week with Bam.
I'll be back in it. We'll get him out of fucking, like I said, he's all gay and tired. You know, that's just San Francisco and his bathhouse is due to you.
All right. Brandon _Novak on Twitter. Follow him. And Brandon, it's been good hanging out. Why don't we end this show with your favorite band, the Libertines?
Fucking A. The man who would be king.
You got it, man. It's Faction.
And Chuck Trees. Buk, 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 buk.
Radio Bam.
That's Radio Bam for this week.
We're done.
Tune in next week for more.
You can leave now.
It's Radio Bam.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 to 4 p.m.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific.
Email me now at Radio Bam.
Why don't you take a picture of your sweet white ass and send it on over to Radio Bam at Sirius-Radio.com.
Call Radio Bam at 877-PORN-BAG.
That's 877-PORN-BAG.
Sweet dreams, Peapod.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Faction.
Later.